Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Dip, 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 dip. Good evening. This is the Labor Exchange, and I'm Dennis Kreese, a member of the Boulder Area Labor Council, AFL-CIO. The subject of tonight's program on this Christmas Eve is an appropriate one, peace on earth and goodwill to all, especially for workers and their families. And we have a very special guest, as before, Sister Ardith Platy, Dominican nun and peace activist. Sister Ardith, thank you again for being here on the Labor Exchange at KGNU at this time of year.
Thank you so much, Dennis. Good to be with you and all the audience.
Sister Ardith, let's begin with an update. As before, how has your activism for peace and justice evolved since our last interview, last Christmas Day, Monday, December 25th, 2017?
Well, it has been a really busy year. It's been one in which we've tried to be faithful and live our conscience, and Sister Carol and many others of us in the Dorothy Day Catholic Worker. What we have done, of course, is to focus on the Treaty for the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons that was signed into treaty on July 7th, 2017. So since that time, we have really been teaching from the East Coast to the West Coast. We have tried to bring forth the education of people as to what it means. But also, we've done all the connections with it. I mean, we did the March for Our Lives with youth. We joined the Poor People's Alliance, where we worked regarding poverty, racism, militarism, the environmental disasters, unionization, and voting rights. And we have gathered with large crowds in the women's gatherings, especially women and the children's separation at the border, the war in Yemen, you know, the death to Jamal Khashoggi. We've attended a service here for him and also went to the State Department and the Saudi Arabian Embassy for that. We've been working with people who believe that the president should never be above the law, and regarding the whole leaning toward war in Iran and the work regarding Palestine and Israel. So we have seen the connection of all these issues, especially relating to our focus issue of war and weapons of mass destruction.
Sister Ardith, your activism almost always interfaces with workers and their families, particularly those of lower socioeconomic backgrounds. Could you respond to this and give some examples?
Well, just know that we are convinced that unionization is essential for justice, and that is our work for justice and for peace. I mean, justice regarding just wages, the just safety measures, the just policies, the just hiring practices, the just health care, the just support programs. So even though our key focus is at this time the treaty, you know, we know that the unions are really key in all of it. I mean, their jobs are so significant. For example, in Australia, just a couple days ago, a few days ago, there was the unions did unite and lent their full support to this treaty for banning nuclear weapons. So they understand that every dollar spent on the military-industrial complex lessens the jobs compared to all the other categories that provide for basic human need. So, you know, it's really key. It's unionization. The unions are essential for these times. And so we see the total connection, and we're trying to give heads up to all the corporations, the investment agencies, the banks, you know, everyone that invests in death dealing, we're trying to, you know, give them heads up as it relates to jobs in the future that will provide more jobs, such, for example, as all renewable energy, such as, you know, the whole need for the infrastructure repair, the whole need for home construction based on the disasters that are happening, and then lessening the effect on the environment.
Sister Ernest, let's move into something that we talked about last year, and we need to talk about it again, and that's the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, known by its acronym ICAN. So again, again, could you revisit and discuss your membership and Sister Carol Gilbert's membership with the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons at the UN conference to, quote-unquote, prohibit nuclear weapons leading to their total elimination, and that was in New York City, March 2017. Go ahead.
It's all in process, Dennis, and you know, ICAN stands for the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. They consist today, we've increased great numbers. Today, we're 532 peace groups from 101 nations. And as you know, we spent 4.5 weeks at the United Nations in March, June, and July of 17. And we were with ambassadors from all over the world, and the civil societies, I mean major ones like the Physicians for Social Responsibility, the Red Cross, Red Crescent, lawyers, you know, the expert scientists, the Hibakusha, these are the victims of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and victims from the different places where testing took place. So we were with people predominantly in ICAN, one of the major civil society groups. We were with many, many young people from throughout the world. It was, you know, hard work, but we designed a treaty that says nuclear weapons can't be possessed, cannot be constructed, built, tested, threatened to be used, ever used, stockpiled or transferred or receive from transfer, or encourage anyone to have nuclear weapons, use nuclear weapons, or nuclear explosives. And as you know, because of the news, the headline news today, this is really key in this world today. So we were part of it, and the treaty passed, 122 nations. The unions will benefit greatly and will have an enormous impact on taking the stand across the nation. To date, there are 69 signatures, 19 ratifications, and we just received word that the Swiss Parliament has lent support, and so there will be a formal signature and ratification. And so we're hoping by the end of 2019 or going into 2020 that we definitely will have a treaty that will be in force.
All right. Then you answered my follow-up questions with that, you know, previous one. There was apparently just many nations there and just a very inclusive group, workers, unions, students, activists, and they were from many countries. You know, they were involved with the whole process. So,
experts from all over the world.
Sister,
the greatest day in history, as far as I'm concerned, is this historical date when this treaty passed.
Well, Sister Ardith, let's talk about the Nobel Peace Prize that was given to the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, and that was on a little over a year ago, December 10th, 2017.
That's right.
So while this was over 1 year ago, could you again share with this KGNU listening audience, especially our new and younger listening members, this great news and new beginning of the process of disarmament?
Well, it was a magnificent date and magnificent events in Oslo when the medal was received. Actually, two people, our director from ICAN, received it along with a Hibakusha, Satsuko Thurl, who had worked many, many years for this whole event. We feel that it has stimulated hope and involves really all of us, everyone who's ever worked for the banning of nuclear weapons, every country, every individual, are now making these countries, the world, moral again and legal again, because there can be no threat to destroy the planet anymore. So it's standing with children, grandchildren, to spend United States funds and world funds, you know, for education and homes and renewable energy, health care, fair wages for labor, you know, employment that is going to really benefit the planet rather than continue to injure it. As you know, the military-industrial complex is one of the greatest, and probably the greatest, polluter, contaminator of Mother Earth and water and air. So it just will all fit into place as this Nobel Peace Prize is given to all people who worked so hard over so many years. I mean, the last treaty was signed 48 years ago. The bombing use was 73 years ago. It's an urgent time in history to ban all weapons of mass destruction.
Well, that's a good segue, because let me say this, and I say it sincerely, not beyond just myself, but for everyone here in this KGNU listening audience and our staff, is that congratulations.
Thank you.
Both you and Sister Carol Gilbert were recipients, along with many others here in the United States,
yes,
and throughout the world, as being, you know, it's an inclusive Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
So with that said, how does this continue to impact both of you, Sister Carol as well? How does it impact both of you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually after so many years of hard work and also incarceration in federal prison?
Well, it's grace for us. It gives us hope. It enlivens us. It gives us more opportunities to speak truth to power. It helps us understand the interconnection of all these issues that young people are talking about. You know, for example, DACA and March for Our Lives, people see the relationship between the killings in the schools, the theaters, the churches, the streets. When the international sphere is to solve conflict by killing, then what are we teaching? We have to become a nonviolent people who begin to say all people of the planet are related to each other. What happens in one place affects another. The whole economy must be looked at clearly, so that all these nations where there's such poverty, you know, where is the money having to be spent? Is it spent for destruction, or is it spent for the benefit of all humanity and Mother Earth herself? And so that's been Carol and my quest for many years, many decades. So even though we're working right now to stop, to ban nuclear weapons, as you know, every bit of creation is before us, and we want it saved, preserved, and renewed for future generations. That's our whole life, why we live, is to give a better world to the next groups.
All right, then, Sister Arleth, let's move into this. It's something new, a new experience for you and Sister Carol for a little over a year now, and that's the Dorothy Day Catholic Worker House. So, you know, who is or who was Dorothy Day? And with that said, how long have you and Sister Carol been living in the Dorothy Day Catholic Worker House in Washington, D.C.? And just one other question, I'm sure you're going to address it, is what is the ongoing mission of Dorothy Day Catholic Worker, and could you discuss some of its peace and justice activities?
Right. Well, Sister Carol and I lived at Jonah House for 23 years. And Dorothy Day Catholic Worker in Washington, D.C. is a sister community of Jonah House. So when we were caretaking a 22-acre cemetery at the same time, so as we aged, younger people would come and serve in that capacity. So So we just turned everything over there to younger people and moved to our sister community. And at Dorothy Day, there is both the service, hospitality, and justice peace work. So Dorothy Day, Saint Dorothy Day, a woman who had a great conversion to serve the poorest and to work for justice and peace, began Houses of Hospitality in New York City. Mary House and Joseph House are there yet today. And so there must be at least 100 in the United States alone. There are actually hundreds of hospitality houses called Catholic Workers. And they don't necessarily have to be Catholic, but many of them are, most are.
Sister Artis.
And what they do is they house people who are poor. They serve meals to the homeless people in the street. They serve clothing and take care of basic human needs. And then they witness at all the sites where there's any kind of need. So they're involved in environmental and war, et cetera. So here, you know, at Dorothy Day House, we have asylum seekers. We house them, women and children, feed meals to the homeless, distribute clothing, basic human needs, involve them in issues, witness at sites, banner, speak out. You know, when the government is committing crime, you know, we try to bring that forth. We question the authority today because there's so many lies told, so we try to speak truth, do civil resistance. You know, Sister Carol and I mainly have been taking the treaty to all the different nuclear sites. And, you know, sometimes we're arrested and sometimes they receive the treaty. So this is what Dorothy Day Catholic Worker is.
All right, then, and that kind of takes care of my other question, because I was going to ask you about some of the hospitality guests and other volunteers, and you've done that, and they complement your mission there. And you've already spoken previously and again with groups you align with for more solidarity for peace and justice issues. We're moving along pretty good, Sister Carol. I have two final questions, but we got about 10 minutes, and I'm going to insert one of the questions, before we get to the disarm question in a summary. I want to do this one on immigrants. And, you know, I have TPS behind it, temporary protected status. And so, again, both of you and Sister Carol until last December 2017 resided at Jonah House in Baltimore, Maryland. It is a port city. Many immigrants, documented and undocumented from various countries, live there. The vast majority, like elsewhere in the United States, are tasked with some of the most menial, low-paying jobs in our U.S. society. Beyond the degrading and humiliating calls for build the wall and increase deportation efforts by the Trump administration, why is immigration reform needed for all these workers and their families, especially the children?
That's a real big question, Dennis. I mean, first of all, my first philosophy is what Ronald Reagan said, take down that wall. I think God made no borders. God set up no walls. God made a world, a planet, a universe for all people. One of the things that we believe in deeply is standing with DACA. The immigrants of their parents were immigrants who were born in the United States. We believe deeply. We had a call here in Washington, D.C. There must have been at least 35,000 of us who joined when the children were separated from their families. A week ago or so, we joined with a large group of people at the Customs House at the death of the 7-year-old Jacobin. I mean, where children are being separated from their parents or even with their parents and suffering incarceration. That's what it really is. These tent camps are not fit for human beings. Pardon me as I'm getting choked up. It's just when you've been with the people, the immigrants, the people who have fear, you know, in getting out of the war zones, in coming from cities of violence, you know, of having no food for their families. I mean, look at the pictures that people see of the children in Yemen. How could anyone see those pictures and think that we should be involved in droning and in killing people with our weapons, you know, as compliments to the Saudi Arabians? I mean, how can any human beings in this world allow the catastrophes to continue and not care about the development that goes on in these countries? We go to war where we should be going to assisting with our skills, union labor, with all the skills in the development of economies and relationships of nations. I'm praying that all these women and children that come here with their compassion and their love for family, et cetera, that we open our arms and welcome them and have them come into this country, but also be able to take back to their own country, you know, what they learn in this nation. So I think we could talk about this issue for a long, long time.
Well,
but I think the treatment of immigrants, we forget they are refugees. And I think that this country was made up of immigrants. The Native Americans are the ones that were here. And so it is a matter for us to really pray and act over this issue of immigration. There has to be reform.
All right, then, Sister Ardith, we have about 5 minutes left and maybe a little more, but I want to get to a question you always want to address, and that's disarm now. Both you and Sister Carol Gilbert, and also Sister Jackie Hudson, rest in peace. She's passed away.
Yes.
You spent substantial time in federal prison. You in Danbury, Connecticut, 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Sister Carol in Alderson, West Virginia, for 36 months. That was 3 years. Sister Jackie Hudson at a federal prison in California, and that was for 33 months. And all of you did this for actions against the nuclear weapon industry. Why is the issue of disarm now more important, now more than ever, for everyone in the United States and throughout the world, especially for workers and their families?
Well, I think, first of all, when we go to prison, we really are with the persons who are affected by war and weapons and all of the dealings against human life. So that's one of the things. I think that the unions should be very concerned because the contracts that are let in the prisons through Unicor, et cetera, you know, pay $1 an hour. Those jobs, all the jobs that are there with that slave labor by the 2,300,000 people in prisons, those contracts should be let to the persons of, you know, who are unionized.
And
so the contractors, you know, for example, there were firefighters from the prisons in California. Why weren't they free and being paid a just wage for firefighting right alongside with their brothers? I mean, if they can be trusted to do all of this work, then they should be trusted to be outside of the prison doing the work for a fair wage. Most of the people in prison today are, you know, there for nonviolent crimes. So they're talking about prison reform. As far as I'm concerned, after being in prison for multi-years, I would say that there's a lot more to be done regarding prisons and, in fact, the whole criminal injustice process that has just been begun. So we think it's good for all of us to have experienced it. In fact, right now, I don't know if you know, but there's the Kings Bay plowshare. Seven of our friends who are, you know, under the court system regarding a plowshare action at the Kings Bay where there's Trident submarines. Now, they are peacemakers trying to hold the government accountable for the criminal actions of threatening to use those D-5s on other countries because they're on high trigger alert. So it's just a matter of, you know, who really is criminal and who is not. So that's kind of where we stand. And if people give their lives for war, we ought to be doing so much more, giving our whole lives for peace. So the consequences are insignificant to us.
Sister Ardith, we have about a couple minutes left, and before I get into the summary question, and again, we'll have to be efficient there, but if you recall, as each one of you were released from prison, Sister Jackie Hudson, Sister Carol Gilbert, and yourself, I did a part one, part two, part three show called, you know, Modern Day Slavery, Women in Prison, and all three of you just hit it out of the park with each one of those interviews. I can't tell you, you know, those are, I've been doing this for 16 years and over 400 interviews, and those were the three best interviews I've ever had. So with that said, as a summary, Sister Ardith, do you have any final thoughts or comments for this KGNU listening audience, especially our new and younger listening members, in the context of tonight's subject? On this Christmas Eve, peace on earth and goodwill to all, especially workers and their families.
Well, I could say a lot more, but let me just begin by saying that the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists have put the clock 2 minutes to midnight, which would be total destruction of the planet. And they do that because of the environmental disasters, the abuse of the environment, and nuclear war, nuclear weapons. So young people's involvement is really significant in political, legal, and direct action. But all of us have responsibility. We must live nonviolent lives, and we must do nonviolent actions.
All right,
unions,
then.
Unions are really important to us because the unions have the power in their unifying to save and renew Mother Earth.
All right.
By labor.
All right, then we have to wrap up, Sister Ardith. And for those of you who joined us late on this Christmas Eve, the subject of tonight's program was peace on earth and goodwill to all, especially workers and their families. And with us was a very special guest, Sister Ardith Platy, Dominican nun and peace activist. If you have any comments.
Well, blessings to all.
And thank you, Sister Ardith, for being on Labor Exchange at KGNU. And if anybody has any comments about this show or any other show on KGNU, please call 303-447-9911. And next week, Monday, December 31st, 2018, please listen to La Lucha Sigue at 6 p.m. This has been the Labor Exchange, and I am Dennis Kreese for KGNU Community Radio. Yeah.